There's a famous statue of the Visitation, this meeting of Elizabeth and Mary when they were both pregnant. The statue is in Ein Kerem, a town south of Jerusalem. That's the traditional site of the Visitation, it being a town in the Judean hill country, just like the scripture says. The statue is made out of bronze, and it's of two pregnant women, and their bodies are sort of swaying towards each other. They lean in on each other as if for support. And I have a picture of me in front of this statue with one of my blessed clergy friends who I went to the Holy Land with last year. And in the photo, we're kind of trying to replicate the pose of the statues, although we're not pregnant. But I've known this friend for a long time, and she has visited with me when I was pregnant with two of my three kids. And I think visiting that with her was particularly poignant because just last year, she and her partner, after a very long struggle, adopted their first child together. So it was very special to be there with her. And being at Ein Kerem together and the place where Mary and Elizabeth came together. And I was thinking about that visit this week when I was reading what the biblical commentaries have to say about this passage from Luke's gospel. Because it seems like all the biblical scholars are trying to explain why Mary might have visited Elizabeth, what the purpose might have been for her visit. Was she trying to get from, you know, Nazareth to Bethlehem and this was a stop along the way? Or maybe she had been kicked out of her parents' house because, you know, she'd gotten pregnant before the wedding actually happened? Or what could be the reason? And as I was reading all this, I thought, maybe she just went to visit Elizabeth because she felt like visiting Elizabeth. Did she really need a reason? They were both pregnant. They had both been charged by God with an important mission. They both knew that the children they were bringing into this world would have wonderful and amazing and scary missions in the world. Did they really need a reason? Sometimes the reason for getting together is to get together. It's the togetherness that counts. And that togetherness, that sense of community and support is what that statue at Ein Kerem says to me. There's a well there too. By the Church of the Visitation. And many suppose that it was actually at the well where Mary and Elizabeth might have met. And that's true of a lot of biblical stories. There's a lot of wells in the Holy Land that are the meeting place of this person or that person or whatever. And that's just because people tended to meet at the well. Everybody had to go and get water. It was just a normal daily activity, like going to the grocery store or grabbing a coffee at Starbucks. So if you think about it, it's kind of crazy that it happened this way, that this was how God's incarnate being came into the world, as if the salvation of the world was confirmed when two pregnant women bumped into each other at the grocery store and then decided to go have a latte at Starbucks. But really, that's how it happened. Their meeting was totally ordinary, but miraculous in so many ways. I don't mean it was supernatural or anything like that, but one of the things that these down-to-earth stories in Luke's gospel show us is there doesn't have to be a miracle for things to be miraculous. This was just an ordinary meeting of two normal women, but it was full of meaning and potential and importance, just like pregnancy and birth always are. Just like two friends coming together always are, normal and ordinary and miraculous. When I was very little and I heard this story for the first time, I thought the whole "and the child in my womb leapt for joy" thing was a miracle. Wow, a baby actually moved inside her tummy. Later on, of course, I knew that all babies do that. Babies kick and move around. It's perfectly normal. It's not special at all. And it's totally miraculous. It's a sign from God. I think the other ordinary, miraculous thing these women do is how they affirm each other. They say, yes, you can do it. You can do the work that God has called you to. You have the gifts and the skills to make it happen. Your faith is strong enough. You're more than capable. We need to hear these things from our friends, all of us, from our friends, from our community. And when we do, it feels important. It even feels miraculous. And these ordinary, everyday miracles create something new between Mary and Elizabeth. They get community and connection from each other. They're no longer isolated. They understand how they, with their gifts and what they have to offer, fit into a whole global, world-changing event. Together, they see more clearly, they understand better than they do as individuals. I think the thing that is born between them is hope. Hope for the future. Hope for a better world for our children, for everyone's children. Hope that God's promises of freedom and peace will come true. It's hard to have hope on your own. Hope is something that grows and develops in community. It happens when we all share our stories about our own struggles. It happens when we help each other connect our small stories with the larger story of God, and together ask, what is God doing there? What is God making happen through us? So maybe we all need to have our own visitation, to sit quietly and comfortably with a brother or sister in faith, to ask together Elizabeth's question, why has this happened to me? What is God doing here? And to have someone affirm us to say, your gifts are just what is needed. Your work is important. And for us to have the opportunity to say that to someone else. Perhaps to hear and say to each other, blessed is the one who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken by God. This is how worlds change and are transformed. When in those everyday contexts, people choose to get involved and support each other in participating in God's radical coming into the world. It reminds me of that famous quote from Margaret Mead, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. Often you see those words printed over a picture of the church basement where Martin Luther King Jr. planned the march on Selma. But you could equally well picture it over a lot of church basements, a lot of living rooms, where people strategize about how to welcome refugees, or feed the hungry, or care for the earth. How many visitations have you been present at? I bet a few. Every mission initiative in this church probably got started at some sort of visitation, a meeting of just a couple of friends saying, what if? What might happen? Let's do it. Every movement in our world got started in the same way. Because when we come together in community and hope, God is always present, waiting to be manifest in what we do together. So I think that Mary and Elizabeth came together for no reason except to be together in their work of helping God's new order into the world. We also come together in community, perhaps for no other reason than to support each other, to pray for each other, to affirm each other, to give each other hope in doing the work God has given us to do. Never doubt what a small group of people can do to change the world. Because our ordinary lives are just as full of the miraculous as Mary and Elizabeth's. Our lives are just as pregnant with meaning and potential and hope for God's future. And blessed is everyone who believes there will be a fulfillment of God's kingdom of justice and peace and healing and love. Amen.